Tonight I'll talk a little bit more about that journey and how I kind of got here, and give you an opportunity, if you've read that little bio that we put up on the website, to ask me some questions about how I got here, what I've done in the past, and kind of a little bit about my experiences. And we'll begin another study tonight, but I'll try to keep that introduction short so that you can answer, or so that you can ask those questions. First thing that you'll notice about me is I have to wear bifocals. Bifocals are really dangerous when you're standing next to stairs. So, I'm not going to wear my bifocals. I have my reading glasses in my pocket in case everything falls apart. But I also printed out what I want to say in really big print. Some of you who are sitting on the first three rows can probably read this print. But it's going to take me a little while to get used to how this is all going to work and what would be the best way for me to proceed. So I'll be a little bit clumsy until I get some of those things figured out, but as we go along, hopefully I'll get those things figured out, and I won't be putting my glasses on, taking my glasses off. My wife tells me that's really distracting. So I'll try to get by with just no glasses. That means that I can see you. I can't identify you at this distance, but I can see you. If I put my reading glasses on, for those of you who have read more reading glasses, you become kind of a funky painting, and that's really difficult. So the second thing that you'll notice about me is that I don't like to be tethered behind the podium. I have spent a lot of time in various teaching roles, and I know that when you stand behind the podium and you just deliver information, you kind of sound like the chump on the stump. If you're in the field of education, you know what that's all about. You really don't want to be putting yourself out there as the expert who is lecturing someone. It seems to be that we gather information better when that information is presented in a little bit more conversational style. And so you will see me try to be as conversational as I possibly can. And that may mean that I'll move down here. I'm a little bit more comfortable preaching down there from the floor. I have this notion that if anything was going to be elevated in our worship, it ought to be the supper. So I would never want to supplant the supper. I want that to be the focus of our worship. And I think we do a good job here making that the focus of our worship. I'm sort of a secondary thought process encourager. I don't know what you call it, but I try to give you information that will make you think. I'm not going to answer questions for you. I will try to give you information that will make you think about the things that are important in your life. So let's get right to it. If you think a minute goes by really fast, oops, went the wrong way. I'll learn. If you think a minute goes by really fast, then you need to join me on that bike. Let me tell you, my son-in-law, not Ted, but my other son-in-law, who lives in California, is an exercise physiologist. I worked out with him after I had a heart attack. That's not a good thing to do, because he likes to hurt people. We're going to talk about spiritual exercises today. Now, we started in 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, at verse 6. And the Apostle Paul tells Timothy to exercise himself unto godliness. We're familiar with the notion of exercise, but I think it's important to understand how that word is used and some of the things that exercise implies about our relationship with God. So let's start. 1 Timothy 4, beginning at verse 6. The Apostle Paul says, in pointing out these things to the brethren, you'll be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you've been following. Have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And we're going to focus on this notion that what we're doing is we're disciplining ourselves. This word discipline or exercise is translated in different ways in other translations. Now, you'll also find out that my preferred translation is the New American Standard Translation. I use that one most of the time. But I own 26 different translations of the New Testament. And I try to read through it once a month. And every month I try to read a different translation. And you'd be surprised how much that helps. I have learned, because of a lot of experience, that if you read the King James and you read it well, King James is pretty understandable. But most people are not familiar with the these and the thous and all of those things that are in the King James. Most people don't talk that way. They tend to talk like the New American Standard Translation sounds. So that's my favorite translation. But some translations say, train yourself for godliness. Train yourself to be godly. Or discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. But generally speaking, what we're talking about is something that is self-directed. In many ways, this is an individualized exercise. I was talking this morning about being a heart patient. And I was talking with someone who has diabetes. And what I do in order to deal with my difficulties is very different than what he does trying to deal with his difficulties. Exercise is individualized if it's going to be really effective. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians asks a rhetorical question of the Corinthians, and he says, what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? I'm the only one that knows what kind of exercise I need to train myself for godliness. And you're the only one that knows what kind of exercise you need to train yourself for godliness. So this is an intensely individualized thing. It's going to be implemented on an individual level. You're going to exercise, and I'm going to exercise, hopefully. We may be together sometimes, but most of the time we're going to do it by ourselves. I go out for a walk every morning. My wife does a different kind of exercise. You probably do a different kind of exercise. But every one of us is going to have to exercise ourselves. And we'll look at some of the training regimens that were used by people in New Testament times. We'll look at Paul, we'll look at Timothy, we'll even look at what some people did in the Old Testament that were ways of training themselves so that they would be godly people. And hopefully we'll be able to gain something from what they did. I'm not so unique that nothing appeals to me that someone else discovered. But by the same token, I need to make it my own exercise program. In some cases, we're going to talk about leaving things behind. Stop doing some things. I had to stop eating red meat after I had a heart attack. That was hard. I like red meat. It's getting a little better because now we have Impossible Burgers. And if you watch the commercials, they say that they taste just like red meat. You can ask Nolan about that because he used to come up to Spokane or to Salem to worship with me. And I took him to Red Robin and introduced him to Impossible Burgers. He'll tell you they're pretty good. They're not bad. But sometimes you have to leave things. sometimes you have to do new things. You know, I've spent a lot of time being too sedentary, and that's probably why I had a heart attack. I sat too many hours behind a desk. I needed to learn to get more exercise. So I had to leave some things. I had to leave off red meat. I had to do some things. I had to start exercising, and you have to keep on doing it. It's not just that you do it one time. It's not enough to skip red meat for one meal. You actually have to do that all of the time. This is the way that some people have described the process that we're talking about. It's cultivating piety. It's seeking to become more holy. Timothy is told, this is another person's take on this, that as an athlete trains his body, so the Christian has to train his soul. And this exercise involves a lot of things. It involves reading. It involves studying the Bible. It involves prayer and meditation in the instruction that Paul is giving to Timothy. But remember, this is all going to be individualized. Godliness, he says, is profitable for all things, and it holds promise of the life that is now and of the life which is to come. So let's think about, for just a few minutes, some of the things that are important when we consider exercise. Listen to your body. First thing. Listen to your body and respond to what your body is telling you. Now, the first thing that we might think about in terms of a spiritual exercise regimen is meditation. You know, when we read in Psalms 1 that the psalmist says, I enjoy meditating on your words. That's an exercise regimen. That's learning to become more like God. And in many ways, you know, that's a pretty pleasant experience. I like meditating on the things of God. I could even say that my body is telling me, hey, give me some more of this. I like these endorphins. This feels really good. Let's keep going with this. Everybody probably has the same reaction to meditation. But there are other regimens, some of which may or may not be quite as pleasant as meditating on the things of God. Singing. Yeah, I really like singing. Acts the 16th chapter, verse 25, when the Apostle Paul is imprisoned, in the midst of the prison, he sings songs. That wasn't a come to end. That was something that Paul wanted to do because it kept him thinking about God. That's why he did that. And when I do that, my brain is telling me, yeah, I love this. This is really good. But that's not the only thing. What about practicing hospitality so that we can become more like God? You know, hospitality in some ways is a really fun thing to do. I get to have people into my home. I get to share food with them. I get to learn more about them. We become better friends. And the Apostle Paul says in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by this, some have entertained angels without knowing it. And again, you know, I listen to my body and I'm going through the exercise and my body is saying more. I like this. This is good stuff. But it's not all. What about prayer? Think about Daniel. Here he was, a young man, as he's carried off into Babylonian captivity, probably around the age of 12. We don't know exactly how old he was, but he lived for 70 years.
after he was carried into Babylonian captivity. So he must have been a fairly young man when he was taken off into captivity. In Daniel, the sixth chapter, the record says that Daniel knew about some laws that had been passed, some documents that had been signed by the king of Babylon. He knew that there were people that were trying to put the Jews to death. That's pretty scary stuff. He's a Jew, and he knows that Haman wants to kill them all. And so what does he do? He prays. Says, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered into his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. This was a continued kind of regimen. This wasn't something that Daniel did for the first time that day when he learned that there were some serious issues that were arising for the Jews. Daniel had this exercise regimen. It was called prayer, and he kept it up when he was facing a difficult situation. Yet think about it for a minute. Isn't that what exercise does? You keep it up, and when you get into a difficult situation, you return to the things that you've been doing all along. So Daniel prayed. And again, I listen to my body, and my body is saying, wait a minute. This might not be such a good idea, because there are folks that are watching me. And me getting down on my knees and praying, that could get me in trouble. It did. We know exactly what happened, but my body is saying, wait a minute, this might not be the best thing. I'm going to do that anyway. Another spiritual exercise, teaching. Hebrews, the 5th chapter. Verse 12, beginning, when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. We need to be teaching. Every educator can tell you the best way to learn about any subject is to try to teach it to someone. I taught statistics. And I can imagine people's eyes glaze over when they hear the word statistics. I had a student one time who was so afraid to come to my class that she threw up in the quad every day before she had to come to my statistics class. I found out about it, met her in the quad. I said, I've never killed anybody yet. No one has died from statistics. But she was scared. I learned more about statistics from teaching statistics than I ever could from just doing statistics. And that's from a guy who really likes to do statistics. My brain says, wait a minute. Let's think about this. Because this is not one of those endorphin-presenting activities that I can be involved in. You know, teaching requires quite a bit of effort. And for everybody who stood up here and preached over the last 2 months, you know how much effort it requires to be able to stand up here and teach. For everybody that's tried to explain to their children how to drive a car, you know how much effort that takes. And you know how painful that can be. So, when it comes to teaching, my good old brain says, think about this for a minute. Now, other thing, forgiving. Colossians, the 3rd chapter. And we're going to talk about each of these regimens a little bit more fully. We're just kind of brushing the surface here, give you something to think about, something to begin to ponder. Forgiving is a good spiritual exercise, isn't it? I forgive as Christ forgave. you know, that's something where my body is going to start saying, wait a minute, my lungs right about now, if I'm a runner, are saying to me, we hate you. This one's hard. Forgiving people, especially when people have hurt you really badly, is not an easy thing to do, is it? It requires a great deal of work. Well, what about generosity? You know, we're coming up on the giving time of the year, and giving is a good thing. Something for us to think about. How many of us give as much in January as we do in December? When you talk to folks, and one of the things that I have done is I have worked at, in California, there's a place called Mary's Kitchen. They make meals and serve them to people who don't have anything to eat. They don't have any problem getting people to come and volunteer to work at Mary's Kitchen during December. In fact, they're flooded. They're overwhelmed with people in December. They're not overwhelmed in February. So this needs to be a continuous thing. And, you know, sometimes doing it like that becomes a little bit harder. Right about now, my legs are saying to me as I run up that hill, we're just going to start wearing 10-pound weights now. Now, it's not quite as much fun as it was when we were talking about just reading God's Word. You know, that is good spiritual exercise, but it may not be quite enough. We may need to go beyond that. So I think about other kinds of spiritual exercises. You know, a lot of people in the Old Testament fasted, especially when they were facing difficult times. They fasted to show that they had been that they had suffered great loss when Jerusalem was destroyed. People in the New Testament facing serious questions would generally fast as they made the decisions that they were trying to make. And you know, as well as I do, that fasting is not always very much fun. When you get down to some of these things, my body is starting to tell me, wait, I don't like this very much. And about now, my legs are saying, I'm just going to start hurting in random places. I don't know if you've ever done running, but isn't that true? Even walking, sometimes you have to deal with that. So sometimes these spiritual exercises are fairly easy, and sometimes they're not. But I think we can conclude this in general. A spiritual exercise or a spiritual discipline is, when practiced faithfully and regularly, a habit or regular pattern in your life that repeatedly brings you back to God and opens you up to what God is trying to say to you. In short, spiritual disciplines are those things that facilitate spiritual growth. Okay, what does all of that mean? Let's get real practical. What does this really mean? Sometimes spiritual exercise disciplines are really hard. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're easy. But sometimes they're just plain hard. Second thing, don't just try. Train before you try. You know, I always wanted to be a hockey goalie. And I talked to, I was the poorest skater on the hockey team. Let's just start out with that. And I talked to the coach one day, and I said, "Coach, put me in goal." I like that because you didn't have to skate around very much. You could just stay pretty much in one place. I got killed. The first game that I played as a goalie, I think my score was something like 26-2. I got just murdered. But I got better at it. Not because I tried to do it. I got better at it because I trained. And that's what spiritual exercise is all about. Being a spiritual person is not just a matter of trying. It's a matter of training before you try. And it doesn't take very much to say, this is not just posing. When we talk about spiritual exercises, we're not talking about the guy that goes to the gym and sits on the exercise equipment because he looks really good sitting on the exercise equipment. We're really going to have to do this. And it's also true that spiritual exercise is going to make you stand out. It did for Daniel. You're familiar with what it did to Daniel. But understand that when it makes you stand out and other people say you're obsessed, is on many occasions just a word that other people use to describe someone who is dedicated. So it will make you stand out. There's no doubt about that. I have a painting in my living room up in Salem. It's the most expensive illustration art piece that's ever been sold in the United States. Sold for $26 million. It was painted by Norman Rockwell. Do you know what it is? It's a grandmother and her grandson saying a prayer before they ate their dinner in a diner with a lot of grizzled old guys standing around looking at us. Most impressive piece of art that I think I've ever seen. And then the last thing I want you to realize, we're talking about spiritual exercise. Exercising like a man won't make you into a man. Get that? This is a horse. And in Kentucky, they actually have a treadmill that a horse can run on. Now, that's kind of like the treadmill that my son-in-law made me run on. This one doesn't tilt up. This one doesn't go fast. Oh, well, maybe it goes faster and slower. I don't know about that. But exercising like a man won't make you a man. That horse was still a horse. And exercising like a Christian won't make you a Christian. We're talking about spiritual exercises that bring us closer to God, but you're going to have to take a step to God, putting on Christ in baptism. And we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about the significance of this step that we take in putting on Christ. And we'll talk about that for a couple of weeks, but we'll introduce that period of study tonight. We'll continue to talk about some of these exercises and how they can be valuable and how we can carry it out. And that will be the focus of our discussions on Sunday mornings for the next several weeks. Our focus on Sunday evening will be the significance of becoming a Christian and what that really means. And we'll kind of take a few minutes this evening so that you can ask me questions. I'll try to describe for you a little bit about my journey and how I got to being here in Eugene at Coburg Road when we begin this evening. If you're here and you really want to get closer to God, we want to work with you. You describe for us some of your exercises, we'll describe some of our exercises, and together we'll come up with a really good way to exercise and get closer to God. It may be that something is in your life that you really need to put behind you. James says, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, the effectual, perfect prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So maybe we can pray with you, and you can put something out of your life. It may be that you don't want to just exercise. You want to put Christ on. That's the starting point. And it may be that you need to take care of that today. But if there's some way that we can help you, that's what we want to do. We're going to stand and sing a song that Ted has selected. If there's anything we can do to help you, raise your hand, stick around after we're dismissed and talk to one of the elders or talk to anybody here. If you want to, you can come down to the front and we'll take care of whatever needs you have. But we want you to think about it. Let's all stay thinking about it.